over to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. I want to speak on a subject this morning which I received through prayer in my fasting time this last week, entitled Turning Point. Everybody say, Turning Point.
Turning.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. This is an amazing section of the Bible that we read once, or maybe you have never read. But it is an amazing section because it is the story of the turning point for all humanity. The decision was made by Eve, Adam by her side, through the craftiness of the serpent, caused a reaction that had a domino effect of God's relationship with mankind. A turning point. And I want to say this early in the message. I want you to start to remember your turning point, or some turning points in your life where there was a real change. A turning point in your life. Say turning point.
Turning point.
In your life where there was real change that affected you. The turning point had a rippling effect throughout the known history of mankind as recorded in the Bible. And other reputable historical writings also state this. Story after story, there are testimonies of turning points with people, both men and women alike, which were either negative or positive, but also affected others by the decision made at the turning point. I want you to think about your turning points to where not only did your decision affect you, but it affected others. Today, you cannot exclude yourself from turning points. It's totally improbable to think that way. Or impossible, because as a person, a creation of God, you have turning points in your life. They're there. They come to you. Everyone has a turning point, one for sure, or many of them, which brought a positive or negative effect to those related in some way, either through friendships, family, or acquaintances. There has been a ripple which has made an impact of some sort. Now, some people make more than a ripple. But there is an effect. There is a motion that happens. There is some change within your life that happens that is a turning point. And we have to look at these. There are some examples out of the many stories in the Bible that I want to share today that were literally there, besides the text that we have used to platform into this great subject. Stories that I hope you will hear spiritually that'll make a difference in your life today. Let's talk about one, Abraham, and his decision to move where God was asking him to go. In Genesis 11, we find this scripture, Genesis 11, 31. Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, many people have read that and thought, all right, they settled in Haran. They settled. The word settled means that they were meant to stay there. They were going to stay. But what was not the turning point for Abraham? He wanted Abraham. You see, God wanted Abraham to have a different turning point. He wanted him to go further into the place the Lord wanted him to be. And I believe today there are people that are in the past that have settled too early in someone else's turning point. They've settled somewhere where someone wanted them to settle with them, but God did not want them to settle there. Again, the settle is a word meaning you are at peace. You are staying there. You have found a place to settle. You see, when water settles, it doesn't flow anymore. It doesn't try to find a way out. The water has settled. And I believe that maybe you're here this morning. That maybe somebody has spoken to you and you have decided to settle for the little instead of the great that God has for you. Has caused you to stay where they are instead of what God had for you to be where He wants you to be spiritually. I believe this with all my heart. I could tell you that there are stories such as Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Because he settled for what others had to say to him. He did not do what God told him to do. And if you read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 15, he lost his relationship with God. Because Samuel, the prophet, turned from him and left him. And Saul chased after him. And one of the great things that he said there in 1 Samuel 15 was not just about obedience is more accepted than sacrifice unto God, and disobedience as witchcraft. We're going to bypass that because that's what he did. He disobeyed. He kept the best and kept the king alive, the best of the spoil. Sometimes our selfishness and our humanity causes us to want to keep the best instead of getting rid of everything so God can move clearly and purely in our life. Have I lost anybody yet? To understand that there is something that God is speaking to you today. And he chased after Samuel and he said, please let me go with you and to the elders that I may worship still. He wanted to not let anybody know what he did. He begged this to happen. He had the Samuel repentance. He was repenting only because he was caught, not because the Davidic or the David repentance. David, when he wrote Psalm 51, he was repenting because he had offended God. You see, we have to understand that this is something that the enemy wants to happen in your life. He wants you to settle for the least. He wants you to gather in what will cloud the voice of God in your life. Cloud your mind from hearing what God has to say. Clogging your heart with temptations that keep you farther away from God than what God wants you to be. You see, what really happened is God wanted him, Abraham, to go to a place where he could receive his promise. You see, you may be just a town away from your receiving the fullness of your promise. I'm telling you, I don't think you're hearing me because I'm not getting any amens. I'm trying to understand today that this is what I'm speaking, that God commanded me to speak to your life. I wasn't even supposed to speak today. The guest speaker had to go away. And I was thinking of all the different people that I could have asked. I went through all the people that I could have asked. I have a list. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to speak a message. And then through prayer and fasting, he said, talk to them about their turning point. You could be a distance, a short distance away, or a decision away, or a turning point away from getting the receiving or getting the fullness of God's promise into your life. Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. In other words, I want you to get away from the familiar. I want to get you away from the comfort. I want you to get out of the house that you're so comfortable in, that you feel like everything there is set and you know every corner and every nick and every cranny. I want you to get away from there. He said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and who dishonors you, I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old. So I want to say something to you today. If you're just a young teenager, or just a person, or a child for Children's Church, or a child that is as old as the baby back there, Solomon, let me tell you something. Or if you are consider yourself and thought, I'm too old today for God to bless me. He was 75 years old, and God said, it's time for your turning point, for you to be blessed. It's time for you to get something from me that I've been wanting to give to you since you've been born. I want you to go to the place, though, that everything else is out of the way, all the familiar is out of the way, to a land that you've never been before, so I can speak to you. Not that I can't speak to you now, but I want you to hear me clearly in the place where you will know that I am your God. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, now I'm going to stop there. I want you to understand the land of Canaan represents the land of promise. The land of promise. I think people need to revisit Canaan. Revisit the place, that turning point, that place where God promised you something. And from the moment of that promise to where you are now, somehow, some way, the enemy of our soul got in the place in the middle and began to dictate and began to speak lies and began to use the deception of how he speaks and to get you to not go all the way to the promise, not gain all the promise, but to be settled into what other people say. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Can I say something spiritually for a moment? Can I just say this? When you get to that promise, God may say to you, and to your offspring I will continue this promise. to your offspring, to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. I will continue this promise, but you need to hear what I have to say. God is speaking that. Hear what the Lord has to say in the place where He wants to speak it. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. May I stop there for a minute? I'm going to ask you a question. Something I've noticed in this church and other churches that I've had an honor to pastor. But what I've noticed is you've forgotten to build your altars, to find that place of prayer, to find that place where you can speak to the Lord and bring sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips, giving thanksgiving unto Him. Praising Him for who He is. Thanking Him because who you are is because who He is. Giving Him thanks for all the plentiful bounty that He's blessed you with. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of glory forevermore. Thanking Him for what He did for you yesterday. You see, most people, their altar consists of this. Oh God, bless me. Oh God, give me this. Give me that. Oh God, give me this. I'm talking about an altar of praise. I'm talking about allowing, spiritually speaking, slaying the lamb, slaying the bull, slaying the ram, and letting that smoke proceed from you that gives honor to God and give praise to Him, and that He accepts that praise and that dynamic of praise and worship. Yes. Forgotten to build the altar. From there he moved to the hill country on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent. May I stop there? Oh, I've got a lot to say today. The Holy Spirit's putting all these stop signs. I didn't have any of those stop signs in this message. But that's how the Holy Ghost uses me. You know, a lot of people I've witnessed in my years of ministry is they never pitch their tent anymore. Where God spoke to them. They never kind of just go to a place and where the Lord has blessed them and the altar has been prepared, but now, and they move now and they want to go, and they don't pitch their tent. They don't place a set a tent there. And what a tent represents is that place where they can rest and where they can sit in the peace of the Lord and where the knowledge of God has been blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. They don't want to leave, so they pitch a tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. A turning point for him. But in his turning point, he made sure that he praised the Lord. He made sure that he set his tent there. He took possession of where he was. He took possession of what he became. Can I move on now to somebody else called, who we all know, Moses? Listen to what happened to Moses in Exodus in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Let me stop there. Abraham got his blessing. Abraham's children are shown in this text. The blessing went continued. And now Moses is going to receive from who Abraham was a directive of God. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. You see, Moses' decision to turn brought deliverance to the Israelites. Amen. He had a turning point right there. He had other turning points prior to that. But this was the turning point of who and why he was birthed. He was to deliver 2.5 million people from bondage and take them to where Abraham was taken. The land of promise, that they would receive the fullness of the presence and the bounty of God. God wants to take you to the promise. He wants to have you have the fullness of his bounty. He wants you to receive the fullness of his blessing in your life. Don't settle for where you're at. If where you're at is where God has you and that's it, praise him for it. But if you know there's more, you need to get up and get to the more. Right. Well, I can't because they. Tell they, whoever they are, that you're getting up. You're moving forward. You're going to gain your fullness for what God has promised. Praise his mighty name for a moment. Lift your hands with me today and worship a holy God, a King that deserves every word of praise forevermore. Now let's move now to Nehemiah. Know that by the reaction to a burden brought a turning point that rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. You know, a lot of people pray their burden away. They get a burden for the lost and they kind of pray it away. They get a burden because something's broken in the church, spiritually broken in the church. I'm praying for a church right now. The pastor called me and asked me to pray for his church. And I told him why I was praying for it. What I was praying for it. I said the Lord showed me that your church needs to be healed socially. And your church needs to be healed spiritually. He said, thank you, pastor. Those are the two things that I wanted you to pray about. Let me tell you something. You need to understand the church needs to be social. And the church needs to be spiritual. It doesn't need to be unsocial. And it doesn't need to be unspiritual. Let me take it to the next level. It doesn't need to be dead silent. And it certainly doesn't need to be dead. Nehemiah 1:1-4. Just a simple scripture. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile. And concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I see the description of America.
Yes.
The walls of the church are broken. And the gates are destroyed by fire. The enemy has come in. And he's doing whatever he wants to do through our government, through our laws, changing laws that God created, God commanded. There should be a burden in the church.
Yes.
To fast and to pray and to weep.
Yes.
to come alive. Yes. But some aren't moved anymore when they see devastation and the ruins around them. They're not moved. They are satisfied in their comfort, in their position, with their title. I got a name. I got a position. They are afraid to pray and seek the counsel of those over them. They use excuses that they're not too good at communication or they're not too social. Friend, I'll tell you, the way to understand who you are and where you need to go is seek counsel of those over you who have been down the road. They are stationary in their fear, which they assume is God holding faith in place. Faith never stops. Faith is always moving. Faith is always running forward, gathering the promise of God, taking more of what God has. Faith doesn't need eyes to see. It needs a belief to believe. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. And by the way, I have over 500 plus names on my prayer list that I call out names before God, and God speaks to me about them and I pray for them. That God would bless them, save them, gather them under the pinions of His wings, heal them and deliver them from drugs and alcohol and the sins of this world. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's the power of God unto salvation.
It is.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Needless to say, but it must be said, there is a word in the Bible called repentance, which means to turn around. Let me give you an example. To turn around.
Yes.
To make a change. Turn around. Mm-hmm. To change one direction and go a different direction. A complete turnabout. This is the Christian's turning point at Calvary's cross. When I met Jesus, I had a complete turnaround. Everything changed. How I viewed life. How I spoke. What I thought about the things that I was doing. And now I'm seeking a God who saved me and forgave me. And because His grace is sufficient for me. Delivered me from everything that I was caught up in. Set me free. I was heading south. And He turned around and I began to head north. Praise God. Where each surrenders their bad choices, their darkness, their sin to be changed into good choices. Darkness to light and sin to be forgiven. And they are no longer lost but redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. I don't forget my day I got saved. I don't forget it. That's my turning point.
Right.
I don't forget when I was called in an old-fashioned Pentecostal revival in a Grange hall where a preacher just stopped his message and looked over to me and said, "From this night forward, you will never be the same." I went to the altar that night and another preacher came up and laid his hands on me and God spoke through him and it confirmed my calling. The next day, I bought my Ryrie Study Bible. It was with me everywhere. I did not want it away from me. I went to restaurants with a big old bulky Ryrie Study Bible. I read it from page one to page end. I wrote in it. I wrote in it. That's a turning point for me.
Yes, yes.
I remember the night my wife woke up. She told me this. That's why I remember. I was still asleep and she said, God, please baptize my husband in the Holy Ghost and fire. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire that night. Two things I understood. God baptized me. Secondly, my wife's got a communication with God that he listened. That was a turning point for me. Began to speak with another language I knew not. Did I stop there? No. I read where Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So I got on that train and I began to practice my gift of speaking in tongues. I pray in tongues all the time, even today. Yeah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That was a turning point for me. You see, I exercise my faith. That's a turning point for me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I went from an evangelist to a pastor. That was a turning point for me. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Don't stop having turning points as long as those points direct you to God. Amen. Draw you closer to God. I'll tell you, there's people by the sound of my voice today and listening to this digitally that need a fresh, new turning point. Yes. Romans 10, 9 through 13. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes. Everybody say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Amen. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I read that one day. I painted it on a truck. On the side doors. So when you passed me on the left or the right, you read that going by me. When you looked in your rear view mirror, I had Jesus on the front of the truck. The fish sign with Jesus written inside of it. But before you passed me, I had a 6-foot Yosemite Sam done in pastel colors with his guns out. And on the side of him, it said, turn or burn. I believe this. I drove all over America with that. I didn't just keep it in my driveway or in my garage so I could be thought I did something good. I wanted to share my turning point. Now listen, I want you to hear this. God wants you to share your turning point. I believe people get too silent in their turning points. To share the message of Jesus Christ. Don't make it complicated. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe it, if you confess it, you got it. He's forgiving. We got to get the God complex away from who we are and stop taking the place of God and telling people how they need to get saved and this is the way you do it. And you just need to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost convict and do it. Everyone needs that turning point. The world is lost, but Jesus came to save the world. Teenagers on your campuses, bring the Word of God, the turning point to eternal life that brings a person from the old person to the new person. Praise God. You know, but there are those even in sitting church, the places, the community, their home groups, the Starbucks Bible studies that live a full life of profanity and anger. My goodness gracious. The Bible says, do not profane. Let not your anger take you to sin. Bitterness and envy. You know, bitterness is something that roots into your heart. Envy causes you not to see God, but see what others have. Are you with me? Those sow seed of discord and gossip. They claim to have made a turning point, but they are but rain clouds without rain, sunshine without warmth, fields watered, but no seed has been received. The Bible's very clear. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Old has passed away. You understand what I'm trying to say? The old man has passed away. He's gone. He's gone. And the devil takes his place and tries to raise up in your life and tries to destroy you. They believe they're saved, but there's no knowledge of the scriptures because they don't read the scriptures. They don't understand the word of God. They're double-minded. Forget what they hear because the world has them believing that it's all right to disgrace the commandments of the Lord. You know, there's a great story in Matthew 16 and 21 through 23 where Peter tries to change the turning point of Jesus. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, his final place where he's been heading his whole life, Jerusalem. He's going there to make sure you and I get where he wants us to be. Heaven. Are you heaven bound today? The enemy loves to bring things into your life to deceive you. Don't believe the silver tongue and the persuading words. The church has fallen into the lies and have surrendered to his lust. We've got to stand up again for the right of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin described in the word of God is sin, and men cannot change the rules.
Right.
Let me close on this one last scripture. And I've hoped I've helped you today. I didn't know if I was going to be able to preach today, to tell you the truth. I told my wife to be prepared to have a message just in case I couldn't speak this morning. But Paul and Silas did something that I thought was really cool. What a turning point they had. About midnight, Acts 16, 25 to 26, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. What you have to understand, this was the midnight hour. It was the darkest hour. They weren't sitting down on a bench in a waiting cell, waiting for a Monday to come so they can go stand before a judge. They weren't going to get some meals on a silver tray, some burritos that are frozen, put in some sort of an oven, and they get that. They weren't going to have all that stuff. They weren't sitting, they were strapped against a wall. Come on, church. You're not that bad.
No. That's right. No.
Nowhere near. Bam! Hanging, your feet weren't touching the ground. Normally they used wooden clasps, but they put metal on those, tight under their ankles and their wrists, because they had disturbed the city. Because they had a woman who had a familiar spirit following them around for 3 days, telling them the truth. These two men are men that follow Jesus Christ. And finally, Paul turned around and said, "Come out of her." And commanded that spirit to leave her. And they lost money on her, the people that were enslaving her, to go around and do trickery of the devil to get money. So they went to the town council, and they had disturbed the city, and they complained about them. You see, even the enemy may tell the truth about you. And you know what? The church should be disturbing the city.
Yes, I should.
We should be having spiritual assaults in prayer upon San Pablo. Amen.
Yes.
Are you with me still?
Yes.
They were strapped. I'm sure they'd been beaten. They had every right to say, "Where's God now?" Mm-hmm. When you really need Him, where is He now? This place stinks. I think I smell urine. It smells. It's moist in here. It really stinks. I'm uncomfortable. These bracelets and these foot bracelets, they hurt. Oh, quit whining. They really hurt. Don't they hurt you? Yes, they hurt me, but I'm not a whiner like you, but I am thirsty. Where they hit me, it hurts more than where they hit you. You had to open up your mouth, didn't you? You had to tell her you got a devil, and you had to command that devil to come out, didn't you? Why didn't you just be quiet? It wasn't bothering us. She was telling the truth about who we were. You had to disturb the city, didn't you? Well, I waited 3 days. I finally just lost my patience. And yeah, I told the devil to go. That's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, but we were about to leave the city. She wouldn't have followed us. We got all the stuff we needed. No, they didn't have that conversation. The Bible said they began to sing and pray. And they began to sing hymns. Oh, yeah, they began to sing hymns, and they began to just sing unto the Lord. They couldn't raise their hand. They couldn't take a walk and sing and pray. They couldn't kneel. They couldn't come upon the floor. They were hanging there in pain, and they began in their darkest hour to sing and pray and pray and sing hymns unto the Lord, and their voice went out the walls of a cistern, went past the stands of urine and waste, went out past the doors and where people were hearing them sing and praise, and they went up into the heavens, and it got God's attention, and God put a gaze on that cistern and the foundations of that jail, because God looked at it. The foundations began to quake and the doors swung wide open and everyone got saved. What I'm here to say is we got to stop our complaining and start our singing and praying. We got to start praising God. They weren't putting on a performance or a concert. They weren't looking to sell a digital CD after the whole performance were over. They didn't have everybody there tweaking them and their sound that they would perfect, because the cistern was an excellent sound room. It wasn't about anything like that. They weren't in church feeling good because their mortgage was paid. They had a new car, a great job. Children were all serving the Lord, holding a position in church, new outfit, new shoes, new hairstyle. Well, everything is just perfect, so I think I will praise the Lord. Do you see, people praise the Lord according to their emotions, not according to who they are in Christ.
Amen.
Praise His mighty name.
Yes.
Amen. But Paul and Silas were at a turning point. You see, when you're hurting and crushed, your friends cannot look at you in the eye. Nothing's going right and everything seems to be falling apart. Don't give up praying or singing. Pray harder, sing louder, believe more sincerely. Your turning point is right there. Let the Lord lead you to your turning point, to your fulfilled promise, to your position, to the place of redemption. Never let the enemy dictate to you your future or your destinations. No matter what it's like in your soul or in your heart today, look back to your turning point and recall how the Lord has guided you through it all. You are important to the Lord.